Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! Now we're in a transition a little bit. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are broadcasting from the Hyundai Studios, and we want to thank your local Hyundai dealers for their fine contribution to the program. We want to thank our video stream operator this morning. It was Brian Gertsch. Thank you, Brian, for getting up with us. And we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. Tom, I just want to thank you. I can't wait to go home and tell my children about this day. They won't believe me.
Don't exaggerate.
You're a great man. And thanks to our executive producer, he is Mr. Dustin William Rhodes.
Tom Thayer, you're a legend. Mike Mulligan, you're God.
Wow. That's delirium there. want to thank Ray. Ray Diaz, bless you, kind sir. Always brings out the emotion.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you, bro. And Sean Sears helped out this morning. Thank you, Sean, for sticking around.
Great show.
Yeah, it was a great show. Tom, thanks again. And now we get an opportunity to welcome in Dan Bernstein. Yeah, I guess we get to do that. Hi, Dan.
The fisherman.
How was your weekend, guys?
Oh, my God. Maybe the greatest weekend ever. Just
Why?
Because yesterday was the most glorious day. You know, my daughter came home on Thursday. And we went out to see my mother-in-law as a family in the car, driving too far, and everybody kind of. But we haven't been together in a while. And then we came back and we did a great little surprise tea for my wife. And it was just one of these days where the whole family was involved and everybody hung out together. And we hadn't done that in such a long time. It was wonderful.
Unbelievably normal weekend.
Oh my
God! It was just like a human normal. Actual weekend where we didn't, if for some reason it didn't have the entire dread of the universe hanging over my head for like 48 hours.
Did it not rain up here? Because I down in Joliet it was pouring, and I was good for the farmers and the lakes, but you know, wasn't
it rained a little, but it wasn't like overpowering.
Wow, it Joliet wasn't, it rained.
It wasn't terrible. I mean, it rained and then it sort of passed through. But just like we went up to for Mother's Day. You know, meanwhile, my wife, who hates Mother's Day and always has, she had a friend in from out of town, so they did this like 3-night downtown staycation, and they went to the immersive Van Gogh exhibit, and they ate out, and they just like their normal kind of weekend, and then. So the boy and I, Zoe's still at college, but the boy and I went up and we had lunch with my parents in their house, like sat in their house. Everybody's fully vaccinated, and we had a Mother's Day brunch, and it was just normal, and sat around and watched baseball and watched golf and hung out for a while. It was really kind of restorative.
You know, I do think Mother's Day left an impact on a lot of people, but considering what happened last year and how everybody had to avoid each other. And you know, some of these holidays or some of these important moments throughout the course of a life like Mother's Day that is, you know, people have been able to come and actually make eye contact. And if they're smiling behind, you know, if they're smiling with no mask on, you can see it.
Yeah, seeing human faces again, like being in a room with people that you love, and no, and people's faces aren't covered. It was just like, you know, we're very, very slowly just kind of learning how to do this again and realizing how some very, very small things become meaningful. You know, you remember like last week too, Molly, I was telling you about that, that like the 1,000 Monopoly tickets that the guy at Jewel gave me.
Yeah.
That huge. So it took me forever to go through them. It took me like 2 hours a day for 3 days to open them, to scan them all in. And we did. And then Saturday, Jason and I went to Jewel and we loaded up a cart with all of the free items and drove it over to Lakeview Pantry and,
good man.
Paid it all forward and just sort of donated all of the non-perishable stuff and everything they would take. I said, whatever you guys can take, take. And they took all of it. So very hopefully nice. So thanks to the Jewel for perhaps inadvertently doing a whole lot of good by getting rid of those Monopoly tickets.
You know, if you were really a good human, you'd have made the meal for everyone. I know you can whip up stuff. Why didn't you just jump in?
Like the ultimate version of Chopped. In your basket, you will find five packets of generic taco mix, 3 boxes, or I think it was like 7 boxes of the Signature Select pasta, bunch of barbecue sauce, like whatever we could find. It was just random stuff, but it was a lot of stuff I don't usually buy, so I didn't know where it was in the Jewel, so I had to kind of, it took us a while to find everything, to load it all up.
My Jewel changed where everything's located. They like redid
it. Is that the
it.
Worst?
Oh,
the worst?
My God. I'm like, I am literally 2 aisles off every. I mean, it's like I knew that Jewel like the back of my hand. I could literally go in blindfolded and find everything I needed. And they have switched it around and it looks, you know, very clean and they've done a great job. But I don't know where anything is. But and that, I, it's, I'm shattered.
That's good store strategy because now you got to walk around the store.
I
got to
stay in
more.
The store longer.
You're in there longer.
Yes. Right.
You're in there longer. It's, right. You know what that reminds me of? It's when you download an app to your phone and it's like the one that shifts where all the other apps are.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
If you're totally like you're used to your weather app or your new, like whatever it is, like you're like, wait, that's not on this page. Where's this one again? I'm used to going top right corner and knowing that that's the red one, and now it's at the bottom left and it's on another page. Like I hate that.
I'm like, I just want to get some salad dressing. Oh boy, let me grab a bottle of gin. I'm right. Lost down this aisle. What should I do? Well, I know where the gin is. I'll go get a bottle of vodka. Like, I mean, I'm sitting there. Next thing you know, I'm like, I look like I'm in, you know, that Leaving Las Vegas
you
movie.
Got Charlie Sheen's like, copying, shopping
I'm whistling and I'm walking up to the but it was very confusing.
The psychology of that stuff about how they position everything and what's at eye level and what's where in a store. It's almost like when the way they arrange you in a casino. Like,
yeah.
The milk is at the back for a reason.
Right. Draw you in.
Yeah, they want you traversing the entire length of the store. You're not just going to pop in and get a gallon of milk and leave. So yep. They believe and the jockeying for eye level for stuff you don't have to look up or down for, and what that shelf space costs to be in that place for, like, you know, an average height adult. You know, there is they know what they're doing.
You know, I'm more likely to impulse shop at a grocery store than I would if I went to a clothes store and was, I would just go there, whatever clothes store, I'm just going there to buy. In a grocery store, you read the ads or something, then you go in there and there's always that impulse attraction to item that, oh, that puts an idea. I want to cook that eventually, or I'm running out of this. So a good strategy by those guys.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Yeah, you lost me at clothes store. I hate
me
shopping
too.
For clothes.
Me too, Dan.
Hate it. And what I actually bought pants last week, which is like a once in a 5-year occurrence. It's like the cicadas. Every time the cicadas come, I buy pants. And I went into Old Navy and it's like, you know, there's like other people in there and I don't want to stand behind a curtain and try stuff on that other people, you know. So I looked at them like, does this fit? Yeah. And I went immediately home after 10 minutes and I ordered it online. I just, it's like, this is what I need. I don't want to stand here. I don't want to be in here anymore. Get me out of here. And it worked out just fine because that's thank you.
I used to have a job. I worked in the paint department at Ward's. And then for Christmas, I would come back and they would have you help out in different departments. So I was in the men's department and this guy walked, and I'm just bored and I'm, you know, a college student. And this guy walks up and he's like, you know, I'm working for 2 weeks. The guy is like, hey, where can I try these on?
And I like, without even thinking, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. The rooms are all closed. The dressing rooms are closed. You know, why don't you go behind that little table over there? Just slip them on real quick. It'll be fine. No one will notice. And the guy's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah, just go over there. You'll be fine. So the guy like gets his, he's got one foot in the trouser. And I'm like, sir, put on your pants. Let me tell you something. This guy was so angry. He comes charging up and he's like cussing me out. You know, he put his pants on again. And I'm sorry, man. I'm just bored. I said the dressing room's right over there and he stormed out.
And I have to tell you, but just hearing paint department at Montgomery Ward sounds like something out of The Music Man.
Oh, right? My God. We used to do
this Wells
thing.
Fargo wagon is coming to town.
Listen, they had like doorbells, you know, like the actual, like the long piping that you would use for doorbells. So if someone asked for something, like at one point I was so obnoxious. If someone asked for something, I'd be like, oh, yeah, hold on. This was if the store was empty. I'm like, let me just check the stock room. And I would go back there and I would sweep the doorbells off the top shelf. So it would be like clang, bang, 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 you know. And then I would come out, I would tussle up my hair and undo my tie. And I would come out and I'd be like, I looked everywhere. I couldn't find. And these people would be like, oh, my God, are you okay? It was so.
Seriously,
it was so much fun.
It sounds like a British sitcom.
Oh, it was
like
just so stupid.
It's like Fawlty Towers or something of entertaining yourself at the expense of.
I wasn't alone. There were a few of us.
Oh, you know, it was a kind of a funny story like that. One time, Jay Hilgenberger and I we were out in Hawaii, and so in the middle of a full moon, we went and paddled this kayak out in the middle of the ocean or off way offshore, and we were just kind of listening to whales and stuff. And so then as we paddled back in and it's daylight, and Jay pops out and there's a guy walking down the beach and he goes, is this Maui? The guy goes, yeah, where'd you come from? And it was just, it was such a, you know, an impulse line that was just so hysterical.
Where are we?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. What? I mean, can't you have a laugh every once in a while? I mean, you shouldn't do it when you're working. Okay, fair enough. But you're young and you're in high school and you don't know any better.
And I tell you, hearing about Noah Jackson and a nutcracker drill and just thinking about what you used to be able to tell NFL players to do and they would do it. Like, could you imagine in an NFL, like lining up someone and saying, you two bull in the ring, somebody's going to be like, coach, it's going to rain in here before we do something like this. It was just so sadistic to have you guys just attack each other. These are assets. These are valuable professional assets. And you're like, here, go kill that guy.
You know, one of the things about it, I used to like the drill because there was only one guy going against one guy every rep. So once you took a rep, you had about 10 minutes to stand around while they went through everybody else. And the thing about it is were able to recover some energy, but Ditka used to make the defensive back and the wide receivers do it. And you'd see like Willie Gault getting a 3-point stance for like the first time in the history of his football life. And they just look so awkward and so out of place. So yeah, you got a little bit of relief, in the time that you had to go one rep to maybe the next rep, but seeing the guys that were not used to it having to do it was kind of the fun of the drill also.
How is the nutcracker compare and contrast to what they call the Oklahoma drill? Is it the same?
Well, the Oklahoma drill is they kind of were, you were surrounded by a circle and they would call two guys out in the middle of the circle immediately. You get in a stance, go, and boom, and you'd go through it. Here, you'd have start with the tight ends to the right tackles to the right guard to the center, blah, 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 right down the line. And, you know, Keith would go against Mike Hartenstein. I would first go against McMichael. My second rep would usually be against Singletary. Jay would have William Perry or whomever else was in line there. So, you know, the Oklahoma drill was a little bit more like just calling guys out into the center of the circle. And sometimes
like a sumo thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Remember Wanstead used to do that.
Yeah.
He used to have the pre-practice Oklahoma drill where he would say, all right, I want so-and-so and so-and-so and let's get this practice started. And they would have a big boom and then people would break off in their different areas and go about their practice.
Yeah, well, inside run was that was full 11 on 11, full pads, tackle to tackle.
Yep.
And man, that I God the sound of that drill. You could have been a half a mile away and heard just not just the impacts, but the hooting and hollering and everything that was going on there and what they built. It was like a game day almost for that.
Brian Cox hit Raymond Harris. In one practice, and it was like the biggest hit of the year. I don't think they had another good hit the rest of the year.
Do you remember also, I'll never forget, they had that kid from Stanford. They called him the Little Bookman Kid, and he was like a Tariq Cohen type.
Yeah.
So, and he kept, they're doing inside run, and he would read the hole, and he would do a jump cut and bounce it out and read the next hole and jump cut until he was outside the tackles. And this kept happening. And Tony Wise pulls him aside, Anthony, why do you think we call it inside run? This is the inside run drill.
You know, when that drill started, it used to be referred to as 9-on-7. So it was 9 offensive players against the front 7 defensive players. And then Buddy Ryan started to use the safety so much at or near the line of scrimmage that he started to involve the safeties. So now there's usually, now every time you try to have an inside run, there's an unblocked tackler that's, you know, getting involved in the play. So it was more challenging to the offense, and it was more, you know, like you're saying, Dan, try to keep it to the inside hole of where they're calling the play. And the defense knew what the offense was running, so it was one of the more physical dominating drills that you would face throughout the day.
Yeah, and you just the injury risk. Just, I mean, I don't know how you justified some of that stuff. I guess you didn't care. And next man up, and now it's your turn. If you get hurt, so what?
Unlimited amount of bodies in training camp. Now they have the mandatory 80 to 90 guys. Before you'd go to training camp, it'd be 120 guys. So it would just be war of attrition out there.
There were some unbelievable stories too that went on in Platteville.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know
most
of
them. Talking about on the field or on?
No, I'm talking about the hijinks in the cemetery.
A lot of good nightlife out there.
I remember going to the Hoist House for the first time, and I was like, oh, wow, like this is the Hoist House where you're going to hoist a few. It's actually like it's a mining term, and the Hoist House was where you went up and out of the mine. And I had this conversation with I guess, the owner. And I was like, well, that is unbelievable. And I went back and I was telling some people and no one cared. Everyone thought I was an idiot for finding out that fact.
Yeah, I remember being out one night at the Hoist House when it coincided with a University of Wisconsin Platteville, Wisconsin Teachers Convention.
Yes. They used to have that every year. And also the Shakespeare Festival was going on.
Yeah, but the teachers, those teachers let loose. My God, I thought that football media could tear it up. I mean, that was just like that got a bit crazy, and in a fun way. But the teachers of Wisconsin were there to enjoy themselves.
Hilarious. What do you got, Dan? What's going on today?
The truth is, after just that very sort of normal weekend, we've got some Chicago baseball to discuss, but Joe Sheehan is going to join us at 10 o'clock to give us sort of an MLB reset as we get to the quarter of the season, just to see sort of what we're dealing with here. We've got some Bears stuff. We have some great sort of new Justin Fields sound that came out of an ESPN Films piece that kind of got buried about what happened on draft night, and it gives us some insight into how Justin Fields feels about being drafted by the Bears. Matt Nagy was on Ross Tucker's podcast talking about his current job status, etc. Russ Dorsey is going to talk Cubs with us at 11. We got a really fun midday midway that, believe it or not, involves Jay Zawoski making an appearance on BBC radio over the weekend.
All right, great.
Because
stuff.
He's an international expert on fast food. I kid you not.
All right, look forward to it. See you, Dan.
See you, boys.
See you, Dan.
Thank you very much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.